Welcome to the Critical Few Actions to Improve Your Business podcast. I'm John Downes, and I'm here to help you cut through the overwhelm and prioritize what matters most to improve your business. Let's get started and discover the critical few actions that have the biggest impact. Today, I'd like to introduce you to Diane Simmons, CEO of Acacia Consulting Services, a multi-award-winning ERP installation and support business. I've worked with Diane since we first met at Deloitte 30-plus years ago, and I respect her for successfully implementing ERP systems in manufacturing, food processing, freight, and in the medical devices industries. Diane, welcome.
John, it has been a long time that we've known each other, and we've got a lot of joint clients we've worked on together.
It certainly has been a great relationship. So today we're going to talk about how medium businesses can successfully implement an ERP to position their business to take it to the next level. Typically, they've gotten by with products like Xero, QuickBooks, MYOB, Ostendo, Unleashed, and MailChimp. But now they're looking to have fully integrated CRM, finance, payroll, manufacturing, inventory management, asset management, and smart reporting and analysis. And over the last 30 years, I've seen some horror stories in my travels around Australia, the UK, and the US. Massive cost overruns, delays in going live, systems not delivering either the functionality or the benefits that they were anticipated to provide. So today, I don't want to dwell on what can go wrong because I'm a positive kind of guy. I'd like to talk about the four key success factors that a business can put in place to set them up for a successful implementation and realize the benefits that they're seeking. So first, Diane, tell me a bit about your ERP journey. How did you get into this space and why are you still in it?
That's a good question. There are some days when I think, why am I still doing this? But so I started my journey at Deloitte. As you mentioned, we both worked there. I started in a division which would deal with clients computerizing their manual bookkeeping systems and putting it onto a computer. So, of course, this was last century we're talking about. And so things have evolved dramatically since that point in time. And, you know, nowadays computers are everyday things that we must use in our business to make our journeys a whole lot easier. So for me, working with clients or working with people to improve their businesses using technology to do so, it's so important. There's so much in the way of different technology options that are available to us, and to actually use those technologies to help your business work better and to help your staff do their jobs better. Mm. I particularly like when I'm showing people how they can do something better and you actually see them go, oh my goodness, you've just cut X number of hours out of my day, or oh gosh, that's amazing. I can now see this data that shows me what my trends are.
Mm, terrific. And in the context of medium-sized businesses, what would you say are the top three benefits that clients are typically looking to achieve?
Oh, definitely around data and information. So knowing what the various different parts of the businesses are doing and seeing it all represented on a dashboard that's easy to read rather than having to wait until the end of the month for a report and a printout and whatever else to actually be able to see it daily. And probably more importantly, be alerted if there's something outside the normal trend to actually see that, hold on, there's something weird happening here. You need to know about it.
Right. Okay. Well, look, that sounds pretty typical for most organisations who are looking to go to the next level. Often they're also looking to get better analysis of their numbers so they can run their business better. But none of those aspirations matter if they don't approach the process the right way. So often they get sold on features and benefits that really are never delivered. Over the years, I've learned that a good client makes a great project as much as a great implementer and a great package. So what are the top four things that a business needs to get clear on to set themselves up for success?
I'll list out my four things that I think, and then we can delve into each one of those. So my point is that you should start with the end in mind, and, you know, I'll dig into that a little bit later. You should definitely clean your data. It's no use taking dirty data into a new system. You've got to make sure that your team, your staffing, they understand what you're trying to achieve, and they understand the end point as well. So again, start with the end point in mind. And you've got to know what your current business processes are and be willing to change them.
Right. So let's go through them one by one. So starting with the end in mind, I mean, I guess most medium businesses, when they're looking to upgrade from what they've had to an ERP or to a better ERP, they're trying to make sure that they're resolving issues that they've already got with their own systems. I'm not sure whether many of them really understand how far the ERP could take them. So tell me a bit more about starting with the end in mind.
I always say to people, get together, have a brainstorming session, I don't care what you call it, but get all of your different people in the room or separately, but get them to create a wish list. What are the things that take you time in your day? What are the things that are going to make your life easy? What's your minimum requirement to get the job done? Create those as a list and then take them to the software vendor. One of the key, and that's why I say start with the end in mind. Where do you want to be? What do you want this to do for you? Rather than a software vendor coming and presenting a, this is the bells and whistles of my software. At least if you start with the end in mind, your requirements, here's all my requirements, make sure that you then have a platform to compare the different software vendors across. Because again, smoke and mirrors, yes, our software can do this. Yes, tick, put a tick in my box. No. Show me that. That's critical to our business operations. So we actually need to see you do it.
Yeah, very good idea. I guess the getting clear on what your requirements are for the uninitiated is an ambitious task. You know, I've seen clients basically sort of say, well, you know, it's got to be able to do the books, it's got to be able to do the payroll, I've got to be able to know whether my inventory is in place or not. How we do that, well, the way we did it so far has just been the way we made up. But then I've also seen some clients go through a process whereby they've turned up to a systems provider with a 300-question list of all the mandatory things that they expect that a system can do. And whilst much of that is really helpful, if they're really wedded to every one of those 300 things, there's not a system on earth that will actually meet every one of them. And certainly not in their price range. So they really need to understand what are the things that are absolutely mandatory and what are the things that are important and then what are the things that are nice to have.
Absolutely. And look, you may not provide that ranking to the software vendor, but you should at least have it in your mind and apply those ratios to whatever you come up with. And I mean, part of that is to also say to the software vendor, if your software can't do it, so it's a zero, big fat zero on that one, but if you can do it with customization, great, but how would you do it with the customization? And can you give us an estimate of cost? Mm. It's really important that you understand that the software's not going to do 100% of what you need it to do, but it might be able to do it with an addition of a report, addition of a business event, an addition of a dashboard, you know, or extra fields in the database. And most of the software platforms at the ERP space have the functionality and the ability to add more fields in there or to add more tables and then to provide some workflow mapping around that so that you're not spending ages trying to collect that information in a separate Excel spreadsheet or in a separate database or something else like that.
Yeah, and I guess that moves us on to your second point, which was around business processes, because I've got this real thing about what's available out of the box, which is really about how do we configure the system to actually deliver the business processes and the best practices that are built into the application. And then there's things called customization, which is where we actually build bits onto it. And, you know, over the last 20 years, certainly since I moved into the SAP practice at Deloitte back before Y2K, you know, the one thing that we had hammered into us was to try and avoid customization at all time. Yes, configure the system so that it mirrors exactly what you want, but don't start building things that won't survive the next release update. So tell me a bit more about business processes and what we've got to do to get ready for an ERP.
You really need to understand what your business does and where your business processes move. Like, is it something like, if we're in a manufacturing business, okay, we take this manufacturing works order, we take on a clipboard, we walk out to the office, we hang the clipboard here. Someone does this, ticks a box on that to say that they've recognized it. Then someone else picks up that, you know, that piece of paper, that folder, that works order, that paper, the bunch of papers, they take into the next stage and they tick the next box or they fill out the next thing. It's those sorts of detailed processes that you really need to have a good understanding. And if we're talking about just general accounting practices or any businesses like that, okay, so an invoice comes in. Does someone have to approve that invoice? Did a purchase order have to happen first? You know, what's your business process in this? You know, what approvals do you need in your company? Like if you're a sole trader, then obviously your decision is your decision and you do whatever you want to do. But if you're working in a team, then you've got to set those, I don't want to call it limits, but you've got to set the boundaries about what I do in my job versus what you do in your job. And just make sure that everybody's aware of what actually happens in that. And if you are going to have an approval process, like we work with a company that works with sites, so they manage sites and maintenance on sites. And so for them, it was really, really important that the site managers had the ability to spend up to $5,000. Mm. If it went over $5,000, they had to go to the project manager. For the next 10,000. So up to 10,000, the project manager could approve. If it was up to $50,000, then the financial controller could approve it. If it was more than 50,000, then of course the business owner needed to know about it because this was a major investment. And, you know, people don't have that sort of money to splash around. They need to plan for it. Mm. So part of that is that business process planning. But further to that, John, even though you may have all these business processes in your mind about this is what we do and this is what we do, you should also be ready to accept change.
Very much so.
Where we say, why do you do that? And they say, because Billy, who was here 30 years ago, did it that way. That's not a good answer. And that's part of, you know, what you and I do as management consultants is we actually say, well, why are you doing that? And could you do it better? In some cases, we even have lean consultants come through the business and talk to the team about lean business processes, and they may come up with a whole set of new business processes. So you can't implement an ERP at the same time as you're trying to implement these new business processes. You need to get the new business processes bedded down first before you tackle something like an ERP.
Mm-hmm. But I also think it's really, you had a really important point about Billy who did this 30 years ago. You know, a lot of businesses think that, you know, changing their IT systems, really it's about changing the underwear. You know, it's not going to make a lot of impact. I'm going to be doing pretty much the same thing the same way after they switch it over, and so everything will be rosy in the garden. But the reality is, if you're buying an ERP system, one of the things that you're really buying is a set of best practices.
Correct.
What Billy did was, he created a process because he didn't know any better, or he saw it somewhere else, or it just made good logical sense. And so they've been following that process for years, moving the clipboard from one clip holder to another. But when we're implementing an ERP system, one of the things that's really essential is to look at, okay, what's the outcome we're trying to achieve and what's the best way that the system will support for us to get there? Let's not necessarily completely replace the good practices in an ERP with the old processes we used to do. If you're doing that, then you may as well
just
throw your money away
or
just stick with what you've got. Mm. So being flexible is really essential. There's another thing, I guess, that sort of comes to mind around that, though, is it's also understanding which processes, not just unique to you because of the way you created them, but give you a strategic competitive advantage. If you've got a process that is a strategic competitive advantage, then that's probably the only get out of jail clause when it comes to customizing something. So I had a client a few years back, ran a hardware business, architectural hardware business, and they had a fantastic process that allowed them to package up product in a very unique way, unique in their industry. And that was a distinct competitive advantage because it allowed them to give a certain amount of visibility to their customers and to their warehouse people and so on. And it really did actually stand them out in the marketplace. Every other process in their business was pretty well bog standard or could be treated as bog standard. And it was worth them spending $200,000 building that customization, right?
Wow.
It was a big deal for them.
Yeah.
But it was a big deal for their business and how it competed when it went to market. But when someone sort of says, you know, I want the invoice to look exactly like this and I want the invoice number to have three different versions for four different reasons because somebody in 2004 asked me for a copy of that, then that's not a good enough reason.
Absolutely not a good enough reason. We had a client that it took us 8 iterations to get the perfect blue that matched her old system. And I was suggesting to her that that's not a good thing to have it exactly to have the layout exactly the same as your old system. You almost need to tell your clients, hey, get ready. We're in the process of migrating to a different system and there might be a few hiccups on the way. What's the best way to do that? Have a different form layout.
Absolutely. All right. So we've now got a view of the end state and we've got our processes in place. Then what?
Staffing.
Tell me about that.
You know the old saying, get the right people on the right bus. If you've got to talk to your team, because this is going to affect the people in the warehouse. This is going to affect the people at the lowest level in your business. You know, everyone is going to be impacted in some form, either being the payroll person who's got to take longer to do things, you know, just in that initial phase of learning the new system, this team is going to be interrupted. And so you need to make sure the team is on board with the change and they're ready for the impact that that will have. You know, often when we talk about systems, we talk about the trough of disillusionment. So the trough of disillusionment is when you implement a new system and you trial it and you think you know exactly what's going on. And then on day one, you go to use it. And guess what? This isn't my old system. And it takes me longer to do it. And I really hate it. And why am I doing this? And, you know, is this an improvement? Well, it will be long term when it becomes second nature to you. But it is that part of making sure the team understands that this is not going to be your old system in a new wrapper. It's going to be different.
Yeah. So there's a couple of things there. One is the investment in training we can't shortcut and we've got to do it at the right time. But the second thing, I guess, is that when you're choosing people to participate in the implementation, you've got to look at them from two perspectives. One is, do they know enough about the process that perhaps it's probably going to hurt the business for them to be taken offline for a half a day here or a half a day there because they are so important to the business. If the business doesn't even notice that they've gone, then that tells you you've definitely got the wrong person because you've just got a seat warmer. And I guess the other thing that you're looking for when you're choosing people to participate in the system implementation is you also want opinion leaders, people who are actually going to not only get on board, figure out how to actually help this be really successful, but also be influential when they're talking about it, as opposed to spending all their time saying, well, I don't like the color blue. It's the wrong shade. We want them to be saying, gee, I didn't realize that we could do that process this way and it's going to make things so much easier for us. So those two things really actually impact who should be on the team.
I think just to reflect on a client where I feel they got the staffing fantastically brilliant. And how do I measure that? I measure that on day 1, 2, 3, and 4 of going live, we had no phone calls from them. Mm-hmm. So they had done enough practicing. So why was that so good? They had a financial controller who unfortunately had a bout of cancer. And so she'd been out of the business but they knew they had to change their business systems and processes. So they brought her back into the business from sick leave, but they tasked her specifically with this project. So she was responsible for making sure that people attended the training. She tested the people to see that they knew what they were doing day one. She made sure that they had run through several times all of the things they needed to do day one and that they had an idea about what they needed to do day two, day three, end of month. That process and that project, I would have to say, has been one of our standout cases. And recently we had another one where someone came into the business partway through the process of implementing the system. And she said, no, hold on, stop. We're just going to stop. We're going to reflect on what our business processes are and why we're doing this. And then once we've got that, then we're going to restart the project. And again, that was a game changer for that business because unless someone inside the business owns the project, we can't own it for you. There has to be someone inside the business who owns it and knows what the benefits are going to be and therefore brings the team along with them.
Absolutely. And that really creates a positive momentum as opposed to people sort of hanging on to the edge by their fingernails and hoping that they don't actually drop into a go-live situation.
So conversely, I'll talk about a converse situation where we said to this client, right, you've got a whole lot of different processes. You need everyone inside the company needs to do a whole lot of user acceptance testing and they need to run through their stuff they do every day. They decided that they were too busy. It was a too, so don't try and implement when you're busy. please don't try to implement and you're busy. Because they were so busy, they didn't do UAT. They said, no, 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 this one lady is going to do the UAT. So this one lady did all the UAT. She knew the system inside out. She knew exactly what she was trying to get to. Gosh, day one, that poor woman, I don't know why she's still working at the company, because it was just, she would ring us almost in tears because everybody in the company was bombarding her with questions about how to do things. And yeah, that's not fair. It's got to be a team effort.
Mm. Well, you know, it's a big investment. And if you're not going to treat it like a big investment and work to get the business benefits from it, then you really shouldn't do it.
Yeah, start with the end in mind, the first point.
Are you looking to pinpoint the areas that will make the biggest impact on your business? Check out the Organisation Performance and Value Diagnostic. This powerful tool lets you evaluate your business on multiple facets and provides email reminders to keep you on track. Head over to criticalfewactions.com.au and get started now. And then you said there was a fourth element that they need to get impact.
Yeah, you've got to have clean data. Don't think that moving systems is going to magically clean your data. It's, you know, I can't strap my fairy wings on and wave my magic wand and everything will be beautiful and that your addresses will form nicely and you'll have your people categorized beautifully. You just can't do that. So,
well, that'd be fun to watch anyway.
Yeah, what, me popping on a tutu? Yeah, I don't think so. But anyway, I think one of the really important things with this is to know your data and then know that it's clean. Mm. So part of it, again, if we go back to the first point, start with the end in mind. If you want to be able to track your sales via regions, then that means you need to put regions on your customers before you start the process. Yeah. Now, we can't decide what your region should be. We can have a fair crack at it, but realistically, you need to own that as a process.
Mm.
And it's important that you understand what your data looks like so that when it comes into the system, you go, oh, yeah, that's right. And in most cases, again, the best things have been where people have gone through their data, whether it be in Accountright, whether it be in Xero, or whether it be in QuickBooks. You know, they've gone through that data and they've looked at it and gone, Why am I doing that? Why have I got that piece of data? Is that piece of data useful? You know, do I want to start tracking the serial numbers on my stock items? Are these items, stock items, high value items? Do I actually want to track what the actual individual cost of each item is? Because by the time I land them in Australia, I've got freight, I've got duty, I've got blah, 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 and all of those costs associated with it. So is it important for me to know that about that product item? Or have I got something that's a 44-gallon drum or 40-gallon drum of screws that I couldn't care less how much is in there? I do stock control by weighing it. That's, you know, it's that sort of difference in stock valuation.
And, of course, if you've put garbage into a system, you'll get garbage out. So, you know, often I've seen with clients that data cleansing and data tidying up was actually one of the biggest projects that they did before they went go live.
Yeah, absolutely. We can help a little bit.
Doing it,
yeah,
the better the result they get.
Absolutely. And look, again, this is about that, you know, how I talked about business process and about the fact you've got to be willing to change. That's part of it. You know, we might look at your data and go, okay, so your end point is you want to do this. Okay, that means we need to add this to the data. So we might say to you, okay, just this once, can you please create an Excel spreadsheet of all your customers and with that one extra field of information, and we'll import that one extra field piece of information. So you don't have to get it. It's much better for us not to have an Excel spreadsheet with hundreds of thousands of entries on it. It's probably better to have, okay, now I want you to focus on categorizing your customers. Okay, one spreadsheet with code, name, categorization, those sorts of things. And then we just import that one piece of information.
And I guess to a degree, a bit of foresight is required also to think about, okay, how would we report better if we had access to the information that our existing system can't even store?
Correct.
So, and I suspect that there's a bit of a learning curve that some organizations would go through because, you know, if they're using legacy systems, older systems or smaller systems, they may not understand what value they could actually get from actually having a dashboard and being able to do some analysis and being able to do that, having different dashboards for different types of user.
Correct.
So, Diane, you're a medium business, so you applied this to your business. What's given you the most benefit in your business?
Well, that's a big question. I think the day-to-day data capture is probably the biggest thing. You know, we're a service industry. Mm. So for us to be able to know what the consultants are working on, how they've helped the client, have the narrative around that stored in a database so that 10 years later I can go back to that database and look at it and go, oh, remember we had a problem with, oh, I can't even think what a good example is, but we had a problem with that. To be able to call up and look for that word in the system to say, okay, so who had a problem with that screen or that problem or, you know, that item and how did we tackle it? Oh, okay, so we've got that as a solution. That might work for this client. May not, or it may get us 50% of the way there. But just having access to data is such a huge trend, which is what all these AI models are about, you know, being able to search through large volumes of data quickly to be able to find relevant information to help you get your job done.
Absolutely. So I think this gives us a really good set of insights as to, you know, what are the four major things that we need to do before we embark on a 100,000 plus investment in an ERP system, get the right people on the bus, get them pointing in the right direction because we know what our end state looks like, understand what our business process is, so maybe that's them sitting in the right seats, and then making sure that we've got the right data in place and that it's clean. Which might be putting the right fuel on the bus. I don't know if I can take this analogy any further.
Oh, I don't know. Wearing a nice frock to the party might be a better way of putting it.
So those four things really should set us up for success because at the end of the day, a good project I've learned over the years starts with a good client as well as a good implementation team. If you really want to kick off your strategic planning and work in a supportive environment with other CEOs and leaders, the CEO Masterclass in Strategic Planning and Implementation is for you. This 10-month small group course helps you craft your strategic plan, present it to a group of peer investors, and develop a habit of monthly implementation. Our waitlist is open now at criticalfewactions.com.au. So if you were to ruthlessly prioritise what we've talked about today, if a founder or a CEO is looking to set up a new ERP system in their organisation, what critical few actions should they start tomorrow if they did nothing else?
Compile the list of requirements.
Yeah.
So go around, talk to your team. By just going around your building or going around your business and talking to the key people in your business, you're going to do two things. First of all, you're going to get an idea of what in their mind the business process is. You're going to start to plant the seed of what the end point is, and you're going to get the team on site. Not going to clean your data. I hate to just tell you that. That's the one thing it's not going to do. But, you know, you're covering off three of those key topics that I talked about. You're getting a chance to say, okay, so what do you think is important in your area of the business? Like if you're in the warehouse, what's key to us going forward with an ERP? What are the critical things that you have? Like, is it the fact that we need barcode scanners? How many of our products have got barcodes associated with them? You know, all of that sort of information is important. And you can only find that out by actually going down to the warehouse and talking to the people in the warehouse. I went on a tour of a 3PL and, you know, the guy who runs the third-party logistics company said to me, I said, what's the one thing you did in your warehouse that changed your company? He goes, I managed to drop the pick rate from 40 seconds per product to 20 seconds per product. I said, how did you do that? He said, well, you know, we had barcode scanners. They were big, clunky barcode scanners. People were leaving them on the shelf when they were picking the product up and putting it into the trolley. They'd then move on and forget, oh, my God, I forgot the scanner. I've got to go back and get the scanner. So he said by introducing something as small as tiny little barcode scanners that fit on your finger, you know, it just meant that they didn't drop them. They didn't break them. They didn't leave them on the shelf. They were with them as they moved between sites or moved between picking face options. So, you know, those 1%, all those small things that make a minor change have a big impact on the team at the lower level. And feeling involved in the process is part of that change management. So the more that you can actually build your requirements by speaking to your team, you know, you're doing two things and you're asking them, and what would make your job even better? Start with the end in mind.
Yeah, so insightful. Fantastic, Diane. As always, it's been an absolute delight to chat with you. So thank you for your time.
Thank you, John. You know I always love a good chat.
Thanks for listening to the Critical Few Actions podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and grab the downloadables from the show notes. And if you found this episode helpful, I'd really appreciate it if you share it with your peers and your team. Stay focused and take action. The Critical Few Actions podcast, including show notes and links, provides general information only and is not individualised business advice, nor can it be relied upon as such. You must take responsibility for your own advice, decisions, and actions.